The list of people who have called for you to resign or be fired is lengthy, and I'm not going to read the list, but
Thank you for that.
It seems as though the list of supporters is rather short, the six members of the Board of Trustees who voted against the motion at the last board meeting to add an item to the agenda about removing you. How do you effectively lead MSU in the face of that kind of opposition?
Really don't worry about it. You just do your job, because I think it's important at Michigan State that we remember this is a university that was damaged by a doctor who committed very serious crimes against hundreds of women and young girls. And so what we've had to do is say, given that, how do we move forward? We had to make sure that never again could those crimes happen by changing a lot of procedures and policies in the medical school. We've done that. We also had to address then the concerns of those who were victimized by Nassar. And there was significant litigation, over 300 lawsuits. We've settled those and we're moving on. The final settlement is close. We haven't gotten to the federal judge yet to get his signature. At the same time, while all of this was going on, there's a national debate about the relationship between men and women and between the sexes and the whole question of sexual assault, even regardless of sex. And so we had to deal with that on the campus as well. And that's where there's an opportunity for the university to really, I think, move to the fore. And so we've been through all kinds of programs, everything from how we deal with youth who come on campus for our many camps, whether they're educational or sporting, activities that involve the university, but far away from the campus, in the extension service, a summer camp somewhere in Michigan. All of that's covered. We also have been very strong in emphasizing prevention, because better than having the most effective response to an assault is to prevent the assault from even happening. And so you do those kinds of things. You have to understand the environment's highly political, but the work is basic, fundamental reform of systems, of processes, of getting the problems that we've seen manifested in terms of either a slow response time on an investigation or inadequate counseling or, you know, some breakdown. We've tried to fix those, or if we haven't fixed them, we've put in place now strategies that will fix those. At the same time, the mission for me is to make sure that the next president, when that person's selected, can come in and find a university that's ready to respond. And so I have identified a number of administrative weaknesses that I think need to be fixed, and we're working hard at doing that. And so you just do your job. I'm not here to for a very long time. I'm here for a short period of time, but during that time, while I'm here and working with a very strong provost and Jim Hewitt, with a strong team, you just go forward. Most people in America don't even realize that our trustees are elected on a partisan ballot. We're about only one or two states that do that. And so there's a level of politics that comes into play. You just have to, I've been in politics all my life. What's different now is that I really can't respond to critics because of the information I have, which is either protected under federal privacy laws or as a result of a judicial order in the litigation. So I sort of have to sit back and listen to a lot of criticism, but it does not deter me from doing the things that need to be done so that Michigan State University can move beyond where we are today. We've got a lot of strengths to talk about, and we'll get into the budget in a little bit, but a lot of very positive things happening.
Some of the criticism you've faced has had to do with the language of emails that have been sent out. How confident are you that there are no more emails that might emerge that could lead to further criticism?
Well, look, I don't look back. I look forward. And think about tuition. That's a great thing to talk about, because here we are with the first ever two-year budget. Very significant tuition restraint in the current school year, the 18-19 year that's coming up, and then a freeze of tuition rates for 19-20. And we did that in part because we know that our biggest challenge is competing now for students. We're seeing the demographics in Michigan are against us. They're against all of the universities, but for Michigan State, we better be paying attention. If we see in a 10-year period in front of us a 15-16% decline in the number of graduating high school seniors, even if we continue to take about 5% of those graduating seniors and enroll them at Michigan State, that's going to be a smaller and smaller number each year. So we have to replace those students that aren't in the graduating class with students that come from other states or other nations. And so your cost of tuition matters. We wanted to make sure that even in spite of the very large settlement that we had, that we were sending a signal that that wasn't going to be taken out of the, you know, the families and the students who we want to come here to Michigan State. We also have to have strong teaching and excellent research. That's all part of what goes into making a high quality university. And so you focus on those things. Those are what matter. The questions that come from the media about criticism or embattled or beleaguered are all silly. I mean, it's a waste of time for the media to focus on that when there's so much important stuff to talk about.
You've brought up the settlement. What's the status of talks with insurance carriers to pay some or all of that $500 million?
Well, they're ongoing because we have significant insurance coverage. We expect significant participation by those insurers, and that process is going to take a while, but we're led by a very able general counsel and the former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, Bob Young, who has done a terrific job for the university, and he's leading this effort. I'm confident we're going to be successful.
You brought up Bob Young. You are expecting to only serve as president for around 18 months or so. He was given a 3-year contract. Can you explain giving a contract that's longer than the amount of time you expect to
serve?
Well,
it is shorter. You're right. Bob Noto, when he came here, got a 5-year contract. And Christine Zacho, when she was named acting, she had a 5-year contract. But we decided not to go to a 5-year contract. We only did the 3-year contract. We thought that made sense. We've got 2 years of litigation that he'll be working on that is a period that runs from when the final order is signed by Judge Quist. So he'll be able to handle that and see that through. The university will be begging Bob to continue to serve because he is so superbly qualified. So the 3-year period allows us to get through the litigation period and make a smooth transition.
Do you think there might be more you could do to smooth things over with your critics, like maybe wear a supportive teal ribbon on your lapel or any small gesture of that sort that you think might help?
I think big gestures matter. I think fixing the problems, making sure that nobody who goes to a Michigan State clinic, I mean, problems at the university are often thought to be addressed by gestures. But I think we had one of the survivors say words are not as important as the deeds. And I think that's true. I think it's what you do is what matters. We got a lot of people who talk, but it's getting things done, fixing things.
But it wouldn't hurt anything if you wore a teal ribbon.
No, it wouldn't. But, you know, the other point, I mean, I could dress in teal. You know, maybe that would help. The reality is that I show my concern over the survivors, the people harmed by Nassar, by what we're doing. We show our concern as a university by getting a settlement done quickly. 3 months shocked people that we could get this done that quickly. The university has repeatedly apologized. The former president, Dr. Simon, she apologized. I've apologized. The trustees have apologized. And, you know, I mean, we could have more apologies, but I think the best way to honor the survivors is to fix what caused the problem. We've done that for those who were harmed by Nassar. I would say our job is not done in terms of the whole campus yet, because I think there still are assaults that take place in the Greek system. There are still assaults that take place in a residence hall. And those we ought to eradicate. We think we ought to probably be talking to the high school age students. 70% of students who come to Michigan State come out of Michigan schools. Can we do something earlier? Can we enlist the media to help? Instead of having sensationalistic coverage from the media, can we help with actual education and participation and support from the news media? Because they've been very critical and looking for something that's negative, but could they help with educating young people about what consent means and what is appropriate behavior? Could they play that role? I think they could, but I think it would take a change in their attitude and leadership on the part of the news media, and I frankly haven't seen that.
I have heard people at trustees meetings during the fray that comes up from time to time shout out to you asking if you have thought about if it was your daughter. I'm curious how much you've talked about this with your wife and your daughters and what they say to you about things here at MSU.
Well, they can't believe the reaction here. I think they are away from here, so they don't have to look at the press. They don't have to listen to things. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that I talk to as well as family. And I think the thing that we're concerned about is trying to make Michigan State better. And it has been unrelenting, you know, some of the coverage. But I understand, again, in the news media, you know, if it was an old line, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, well, in some ways, if it's sensational. And you've got failing newspapers, you've got others out there that are, you know, they want to try to sell newspapers. They want to attract attention. Even your questions today, well, this is, I think, the fourth question that goes back to the negative, and yet to have a positive question about what are you doing? And see, I think these kind of interviews, I like to do them because it gives me a chance to talk about the positive things.
Similar stories of sexual abuse allegations are surfacing at other schools, like we're hearing about it at Ohio State and USC. What impact, if any, do you think that has on Michigan State moving forward, that this isn't just an MSU problem?
Well, it has no impact on us in the sense that we're fixing our problems, and what we hope is that we become a model because we're ahead of those other schools. We've been looking at and examining our procedures. We have completely restructured how we deal with a complaint when somebody says there was a sexual assault, how that's investigated, how we help the person who's the claimant, how we provide due process throughout that. And I think the other universities are going to be able to come here and say, how did you address this, Michigan State? And so we're going to be in a position, I hope, to provide some leadership. But it also, I think, is incumbent on us to have the response here from our university community that faculty members treat students or graduate students with respect, that students treat each other with respect, that the Greek system cleans up its act, that a lot of these challenges that we've had, that you actually see positive results too.
Maybe that was one of those positive questions that you were hoping I would get to where MSU looks good by comparison.
Well, I think we do look good by comparison. You know, if you look at the data the federal government puts out, Michigan State ranks kind of in the middle of the Michigan universities, kind of in the middle of the Big Ten universities. We'd like to be number one in terms of being the most responsive, having the safest campus. And, you know, I don't want to be middle of the pack. We're not at the bottom, but I don't feel good about that. Anytime there's a sexual assault, you asked earlier about, you know, being the father of three daughters. You know, our daughters were very involved in a couple of them on their university campuses in Take Back the Night activities and things like that. Nobody should be at fear of being assaulted, and nobody should be also being harassed either. I mean, speech comes into this sometimes. That's an indicator of a hostile environment. We talk about values of respect, of excellence, of integrity. Those are the kinds of values that ought to be pervasive on the Michigan State University campus. And respect, if you respect someone, that's regardless of their race, their gender, their sexual preference, their religious affiliation or non-affiliation. And I think if we can get there so that we can begin to have a conversation, and that's one of the challenges in the country today. I mean, everybody's kind of yelling at each other. I respect very much everybody's First Amendment freedoms to be able to speak out, but they also have to respect that the other person ought to be allowed to speak too, even if they disagree vigorously with what they say.
Do you hear from faculty and students that perhaps they are feeling safer or more heard these days?
Well, there are a couple of things that are indicators. I mean, we're seeing more complaints brought forward, so we think people are feeling more confident in reporting, that there's going to be responsiveness. I think there's a lot of comment that we get. People don't want to be public. They don't want to be in this debate because when one side wants to make it so personal, there are a lot of people don't want to get drawn into that. I don't want to speak up. You know, so is there a silent majority? In some ways, yes. We get a lot of email comments and people coming up at functions. I'm out with a lot of the colleges and around the campus, a lot of very good feedback. But these are men and women who would never, ever go in front of a public forum because they just don't wish to be hassled.
MSU will admit its biggest class of freshmen ever this fall. Am I remembering that correctly?
That's correct, I believe. And most diverse.
So my question is, why? Will the numbers help make up for a decline in out-of-state or foreign students, bring in more money to maybe ultimately help defray the expense of that settlement? Why does MSU want the biggest freshman class ever?
Well, I think the better question is, why do students want to come here? Because it's a great university and they recognize that. I think that we're seeing tremendous demand in the business, the engineering, and some of the sciences area. I think that the class, you never know exactly how big the class is going to be, but we were blessed this year with a surge in applications, a lot of them from Michigan, which I think is really heartening because obviously some of them have been exposed to the stories, and yet I've talked to parents during orientation where they conclude that this is probably the safest campus around now because of the work that's been done. I agree with that assessment. There is a decline in foreign students. There is not a decline in out-of-state U.S. students. That held constant, but we need to do better than holding it constant. We need to see that come up a bit, and we'd like to arrest the decline in foreign students. That was primarily Chinese students, but I think the admissions office, part of the reason we wanted to do a two-year program on tuition was to be able to go out now across the country and across the world and say, look, here's what the tuition is now and here's what it will be a year from now. So we've made this easier. At the same time, we've also, with the move to the block tuition structure, hopefully developed an incentive to help people move through university a little bit more expeditiously. We'd like to see people graduating in 4 years, and that keeps that student debt in check. It lets them get into the workforce. It's a good workforce, good climate to be going out today into the workforce, and our placement rate among the graduating seniors was extraordinarily high this year. So we feel good about where we are, but long term, you want to keep these numbers kind of constant, and that's what our objective should be. That's sort of the challenge I've laid out internally for and I would expect that the next president, that when that hiring process is going on, there'll be a bit of discussion about that.
Interim MSU President John Engler, thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Poole, WKAR News.